Our next scripture is from Matthew 14, 22 to 33. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, and the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Pray with me. So engage us now, O Lord, in the work of your Holy Spirit. Stir our minds to understanding, our hearts to trust, our lives to believe that you are great among us and greatly to be praised. It is in the beautiful name of Jesus, our Savior, we pray. Amen. This morning we continue in the third of our series of trusting in the midst of doubt. On one of the many trips that I've made coming home from Portsmouth here to Cincinnati, I came across a volunteer fireman standing on Route 73, and he pointed towards an off-road that I had no familiarity with. I rolled down my window, and he said, "There's a tree down across the highway. You got to go another way. Just follow the car ahead of you." That car, no doubt, was more familiar with the twisting, turning road than I was, and he pretty much in a few moments disappeared altogether, and I followed till I came to a stop sign. Four ways to go. I decided I'd look at the GPS. For some time now, the GPS had been traveling without a road on it. Have you ever driven with your GPS in a green field? Yes. Some of you have. And there is this moment that I said, "Okay, I'm going to go west, north. That's the direction." So I turned right onto the road going northwest, and I traveled on a little bit further till I came to another stop sign and a gravel road. The road ahead of me that I was on was going to end in about 100 feet at the house. Strangely enough, it sort of looked like the car that I was supposed to follow was parked up there. So again, I dissected my directions and I said, west, north, and I turned left. And we followed that route until I hit 32 and I rejoiced with great excitement and knew that I could find my way home. Have you ever had a moment in your life when you are deep in doubt that the GPSs of life can't tell you where to go or where to find? And yet there is in the prayer of the psalmist and in the story of Matthew a direction and a plan. That if we know our way home, no matter what circumstance we find ourselves in, we know the way. There is a word in the New Testament that's from the Greek translation that's meant as doubt. It can be translated to waver, to hesitate, or most specifically, to be without a way. To be without a way. Have you found yourself in such moments? The psalmist begins to pray when he's in distress. He cries out to God, his prayer, and yet he says all night he is restless and cannot find an answer. Have you had such moments of lingering doubt, questioning pain, struggle, and trial? There's another Greek word that's distazo, D-I-S-T-A-Z-O. The fraction of dis, D-I-S, suggests twice or double the doubt. In the Old Testament, it is the expression of what the writers would say as double-mindedness. Having an opinion on this side and an opinion on the other and not willing to decide which is the way to go. In 1 Kings 18, there's the story of the prophet Elijah. He's battling 450 of the priests of Baal. This encounter, you'll remember, is one of those mighty exchanges where the two different groups of worship are called to place offerings out and see which one God would accept. The 450 of the priests of Baal, they shouted and screamed and hollered at their God, and there was no activity. Hours and hours, the day goes on, and they continue every effort, and nothing occurs. You'll remember the story that Elijah, when it's his turn, asked for water to be dumped over the offering so that it would not have any chance to be consumed. And then in an instant, as the prophet prays, that offering as well as the other offering are both consumed by the act of God. You would think this man of faith who had outlasted the 450, who would then stand victorious in such a moment, would not be the same one that just verses ahead would be fleeing for his life and hiding in a cave and having God come to him saying, Elijah, why are you hiding here? And he said, they desire my life, and I alone am left. These moments of doubt intercede into all of our lives. They cause us to question and wrestle, could there be, should there be? And one of the elements of adult confirmation that I've taught through the years, there's a struggle between doubt and faith. I've had countless adults try and say to me that there is no way, if I'm a doubter, I can believe and trust in God. It would be as if doubt itself is the door that shuts our ability to encounter the living God. There's an illustration that's met that has been used by theologians who say if you walk into a room and you flip the light switch on and the lights come on, then you've had faith. Oh, I think that's a limited, weak illustration. Now, if you had true faith in the midst of doubt and hardship, you would walk into a room and you would know that the electric is turned off. There are no light bulbs in the fixture. And yet, out of your habit, you'd flip the switch and then miraculously, the room would lighten up. Now, that is faith. It's that confidence that when there is doubt, the door is not shut. The disciples knew that Jesus' body was dead and they had put it in a tomb. There was no suspicion or question. When they arrived at the tomb and saw that in 3 days the stone was rolled back and the body was not there, it was the moment when doubt was best understood. You and I must be a people who, when in doubt, step through the door, step into the cave, understand that the power and presence of God is far greater than our human understanding or our limited moments of despair. The prophets, even the psalmists, proclaim God's steadfast keeping. They acknowledge that the only way forward is to follow the way you know is sure. That even in the midst of doubt, you will seek God. Even in the midst when there is every other argument and it is all crystal clear, faith still reigns supreme. The story in Matthew is a vibrant one. Jesus ordered the disciples to get into the boat to go across to the other side. Now, no doubt they are fishermen, and they themselves recognize there is a couple ways to get across the lake here in the Sea of Galilee. The quickest and the simplest is to go by boat. You could walk around and be on land, but it would take you twice as long and would be much harder. Yet Matthew's gospel says Jesus ordered them into the boat. I wonder which of the disciples wondered, how's Jesus going to get where we're going? And yet they obeyed and they got into the boat, and Jesus then dismisses the crowd. Now just do the math with me. If you have a conversation that lasts 3 minutes, and the crowd of people you're dismissing is the group that was just in the story before, where he fed the 5,000 men plus women and children, how long is that dismissal? It isn't just going to be done in a brief moment, a quick handshake, and a fond farewell. Jesus is going to be exhausted from sharing with this massive dismissal of those who've been fed by faith in the story just before of the feeding of the 5,000. And when he is done, he goes up on a mountain to pray. He doesn't go into the valley of the shadow. He goes to the mountain to experience the power and the privilege to seek after God. There's a cute little sign down in Newtown. Maybe you've driven past it and paid no attention. I'll paraphrase it. You will learn more from being in the valley than you will on the mountaintop. When there are doubts and there are great tribulations, you understand we have the privilege and possibility to be as the psalmist who looks with confidence to the God who is the one he would seek. Not the one he would understand, not the one that he could dictate or control, but the one who would part the waters and not leave a footprint, the psalmist said. Did you catch that? I love that image of God's power, not leaving a trace, but being the way forward. And then he would lead them by Aaron and by Moses, and God would tend to his flock. This Jesus, who would be on the mountaintop praying when evening had come, would then make his way to go across the water. And the disciples, when they see him, are simply filled with fear. Peter would call to him, "If it is you, bid me to come." All Jesus says is to come. The story is crystal clear. Peter steps out onto the water, and while he is seeking and knows where Christ is, there is no difficulty. But when he sees the waves and the storm around him, he begins to sink. And Jesus says, "Why do you doubt? Only believe." You and I find ourselves in those same moments in the storms of life. We find ourselves engaged by those, even in desperate moments, to try and prove that God exists. There is a God that we can put in our pocket, and there is the God who reigns supreme. When the Russian cosmonaut circled the globe, he announced with great delight, there is no God up here. Thank heavens he's not just above our planet, but is the God of the universe, the God of the heavens and the earth, and not merely man's ability to understand. Trusting is that moment when nothing else will last, but the confidence that God takes hold of us and draws us again to himself, to find us in the midst of the trial of life, and to say to us, trust, doubt, both can occur, but God will endure. Amen.